الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الجويني في الورقات: أقسام كلام من حيث استعماله في مدلوله. ينقسم الكلام من حيث استعماله في معناه إلى ألف حقيقة، با مجاز. جويني رحمه الله وغفر الله له, he said that after mentioning briefly the fundamentals of speech as it relates to the logha, Arabic language, linguistics, he mentions then the categories of kalam as it relates to what that speech indicates and what the speech in itself proves or promotes. And he said, ينقسم الكلام من حيث استعماله في معناه إلى حقيقة مجاز. He said that it's split into two categories, and that's حقيقة, which is literal, and مجاز, which is roughly, we can roughly translate as metaphorical. But في الحقيقة, حقيقة, the حقيقة, which is literal, is that which he himself defines in his waraqat with two different definitions. The first one, he says, اللفظ الذي بقي على استعماله الأول حيث الوضع, and that is the term in as relates to speech in which the wording and its meaning remains in its original state, remains on its original state. مثل أسد إذا استعمل في الحيوان المفترس, like a lion, if it's used for this the animal, the haywan, al-muftaris, this prey, which is the lion, was shamsun idha istu'mila lil kawkab an-nahar, and the sun is used for that star. We know that's for indicating the time of the day. This is his definition, or one of the definitions he's used for al-haqiqa, which is literal. So saying that it is al-lafz alladhi baqi ala istimalihi al-awwal hina al-wada, and that is that term that is remains, or the meaning that remains in its origin as it was placed in its by the one who actually said it, or in the language, or whichever origin it is, without it being moved to any other meaning. And that is what he mentions as haqiqa. And another definition he mentions as haqiqa, ta'rif al-thani, another definition he says, al-lafzu al-musta'malu fima istuliha alayhi fi al-lughat al-takhatub wa in lam yabqa ala mawdi'ihi al-awwal lughawi. And he said this is that wording that is used in its original state, okay, as it relates to the language that has been spoken, and if even though its topic may have changed somewhat in its original linguistic sense, and that is, it says dabba idha istu'mila fi dawat al-arba fi al-urf al-am, and that is dabba, which is a crawling or a beast that moves, if it's used in its original sense of the animal with four legs. And that is in the or things that have four legs, rather. The things that have four legs are dabba. So dabba, things that have four legs, can be an animal that has four legs, or for example a car that may have four legs, as it relates to the general understanding in as in urf, and that is which is known by the people of that language, and so forth. Fil haqiqa, in reality, this issue here, al-haqiqa and al-majaz, that Juwayni has mentioned as from the Abwab in Usul al-Fiqh, this literal meaning and the Majaz. Majaz, ya ikhwati al-kiram, which is the second category, he says, rahimullah, huwa al-lafz alladhi kharaja an isti'malihi al-mawdu' lahu ila ma'nan akhar li'alaqatin wa irtibatin bayna al-ma'na al-manqul minhu wal-ma'na al-manqul ilayhi bayna al-ma'na al-manqul minhu wal-manquli ilayhi. And he says that is that term, this is the opposite of haqiqa. Haqiqa is literal, ya ikhwa wa akhawat, is literal for that meaning in which the person who's actually initiated that word or that salamakum Allah, that love, that term, it remains in its original meaning as it was placed originally. But here al-majaz is the one that leaves that meaning that it was originally placed in and moves on or is transported to or to a different meaning in which there is some type of connection with the original meaning and the new meaning. وَالْرْتِبَاطٍ بَيْنَ الْمَعْنَى الْمَنْقُولِ مِنْهُ وَالْمَنْقُولِ إِلَيْهِ. So there's a link between the two meanings. This is the definition that he's mentioned as relates to al-majaz and al-haqiqa. وَفِي الْحَقِيقَ صَرَاحَةً. يعني in reality, this is something which we're not going to go into too much depth regarding, but rather we're going to stick to the kalam of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah ta'ala and the kalam of Ibn Qayyim, and that is that هذا القول بالحقيقة والمجاز ليس لها أو ليس له أصل. وأنكر شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وتلميذه ابن قيم وجود المجاز في اللغة العربية بل على إطلاق as كما قيل في كتبهم المختلفة. نعم. Ibn Qayyim rahimullah and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, they negate this categorization of haqiqa and majaz. They negate it, and Ibn Qayyim negates it in Su'aiq al-Mursala. He negates it in Su'aiq al-Mursala, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah ta'ala, he negates it in it's mentioned in his Majmu' al-Fatawa in Kitab al-Iman. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah negates this categorization that Juwayni has made for kalam, and the reason behind this negation and refutation of this is due to a few points. The first point is that it wasn't known as kalam as a taqseem in the Salaf. It wasn't known as a categorization that the Salaf of this Ummah and from the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they never categorized the kalam of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مثلاً, or the kalam of Allah and the kalam of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not categorize it into it having a meaning in its original sense and in the meaning that it was placed, yani al-haqiqa, or they didn't categorize it to the second category that Juwayni mentions, that it's removed from its original meaning to another meaning with a link between the two meanings. Okay, now this is not found in the kalam of the Sahaba. This is not found in the statements of the Sahaba, but this is the bab in which Ahl al-Kalam, the philosophers and rhetorics, they introduced this taqseem and this categorization in order to negate some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So point number one is that this was not done from the Sahaba. Point number two is, as we mentioned at the tail end of point number one, is that the people of innovation and the philosophers and the people of kalam, ilm al-kalam, rhetoric, people of rhetoric, they introduced this categorization in order to negate some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-fi'liyya, some of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. So for example, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the Most Merciful, He rose above His throne. They will change the meaning of istawa to istawla, yani they make ta'wil and they alter and make tahrif and distort the meaning of istawa, and they changed it to istawla. And them changing it to istawla is what they themselves will call majaz, and that is moving it away from its original meaning to another meaning with an assumed connection between that new meaning and the initial meaning of istawa. So they say that Allah conquered the throne, istawla, Allah conquered the throne. And this is buhtanun azim. This is a great lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is ta'wil, this is distortion, distorting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala and others, and Ibn Taymiyyah, his shaykh, they refuted this categorization of al-kalam and speech into al-haqiqa and majaz. So they say, kallama Allahu Musa taklima, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa. So they say that kalam is majaz, that is not literal speech, it's not literal speech. They make ta'wil and change the meaning in order to not affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. And they changed the meaning of al-istawa in order to not affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above. You need to negate sifat al-ulu, the Allah being above subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why they use the majaz. And we are not in need of this categorization. Bel, it's not recorded and it's not mawjood in the kalam of the Salaf. And it's not something which the ulama of the Salaf used in their kalam and in their speech when explaining the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the sunnah, barakallahu feekum. Now, so Ibn Qayyim, he refuted this and negated majaz and haqiqa, and so did Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, and as we get, some may argue and say that linguistically there is present, for example, for majaz, which you can say is point number three, and that is to bring some example. For majaz, they'll say, if you say to qama asadun yusalli, qama asadun yusalli, if somebody says that an asad, yani lion, he came and he prayed, the person who would affirm majaz would say the meaning of asad in its original form is that haywan and muftaris is that animal of prey, the lion, king of the jungle, as they say, the lion. They say that this is the haqiqa, but they say we didn't mean haqiqa, we meant the majaz, and that is that we're taking away from its initial meaning of that animal of prey and moving it to another meaning of somebody who is firm and strong. Ibn Qayyim and others, ulama that negate the presence of al-haqiqa and majaz, yani literal and metaphorical, so to speak, they say that it is not metaphorical in the first place, because that's the way that the individual who spoke it placed it. When they say that the Asad, that his meaning is known, the intention behind his kalam is known, so it's actually it leads to that which the speaker intended. Okay, so even linguistically, there is no majaz. There is no majaz. And Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this as well in his explanation of Al-Waraqat. And he's on the same opinion of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. So therefore, this is the correct opinion, and this is the one that is closer to the sunnah, and that is that we do not affirm this categorization, as it's one of the tools of the people of bid'ah and the people of ta'wil, the people of distortion, in order to negate the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a meaning in which will suit their usul, which will suit their methodology. Now, so we're not going to go into detail or further detail as it relates to majaz, so we're going to skip some of the tafsir that is mentioned by Juwaini in Al-Waraqat. And we move to Al-Bab Al-Thani, after mentioning Kalam, which is Bab Al-Awwal. The first chapter is speech. We now go to the second chapter, Al-Bab Al-Thani, and that is Al-Amr, and that is the command, and that is Al-Amr, Al-Command. Qala Al-Juwayni Rahimullah, ta'rifuhu talabul fi'li bil-qawli mimman huwa dunahu ala sabil al-wujub. Talabul fi'li bil-qawli mimman huwa dunahu ala sabil al-wujub. And this is the definition that he mentions, Juwayni. And it's not the definition that is well known for Al-Amr, which is a command. He says that it's requesting an action to be done to be put upon somebody who is less than the speaker in the form of an obligation. And it's something that somebody has to do where they've been commanded by a speaker that they are less than, as it relates to it being obligatory, yani they must do it. In order to understand Al-Amr, it's muhim jiddan fi usul al-fiqh, it's important. So we're going to deal with some definitions or the origin of the word Al-Amr. So point number one with this is that Al-Amr logatan, amrun yujma ala awamir aw amruhu aw umur. And that is that Al-Amr is plural form is awamir. The plural form is awamir, and the plural form also is known as umur, and it comes with various meanings linguistically. And the first kind of meaning of for amr linguistically is ash-sha'n, yani a situation, wal qada, a ruling, wa talab ash-shay, yani requesting something. This is the linguistic meaning for al-amr, and that is it revolves around three meanings: ash-sha'nu wal-qada'u wa talab ash-shay. Sha'nu, situation, state, wal-qada'u, yani an affair, wa talab ash-shay, yani affair as in ruling, wa talab ash-shay, yani requesting something or something being requested. Amma fi shar' wa amma fi al-istilah. As it relates to it, the Al-Amr, as it relates to the Quran and the Sunnah, the definition that sarahatan we're going to use, that definition which is mashhur in the Aimati Usul al-Fiqh, is that definition which Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala he brings here, and he brings in other books of Usul and all other than him, and that is Al-Amr talabul fi'l ala waj al-isti'la. Talabul fi'li ala waj al-isti'la. And that is requesting an action by somebody who is more superior than you. The requesting of an action to be done by someone who is more superior than you. Someone that is more superior than you. And regarding this definition, the first part of it is Al-Amr, yani talab al-fi'l, is requesting a fi'l. And this requesting an action is not meaning that speech is not included, but rather speech is included. But the real meaning of al-fi'l, or action here, is as opposed to opposite of not doing anything. Yani complying or doing something, yeah, is what is intended here, whether it is speech or action or belief, all is included. Whether it's speech, action or belief, all of it is included. Aminu bil Rasul, believe in the messenger. This is a command, this is an amr fil i'tiqad, belief. And this definition, amr talab al-fi'l, requesting an action, it says, but really and truly it means requesting something to be done, yani, or something to be complied, naam, and not being left. And the second part of this definition is على وجه الاستعلاء. And this is بارك الله فيكم, that request for something to be complied is by someone who is more superior than you, someone who is أعلى منك. من الأعلى إلى أدنى, من الأعلى إلى الأدنى. And that is from someone who is more superior to you who is less than him. Yani, like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ. أَقِيمُوا is فِي الْعَمْرِ, is a command. And establish the prayer, it's imperative, it's a command. أَقِيمُوا. And that comes from Allah, who is أَعْلَى. That comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is superior to us, who is أَدْنَى. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ, and give the charity or give alms. Now, this is مِنَ الْأَعْلَى إِلَى أَدْنَى. And بِهَذَا خَرَجَ الدُّعَى. And with this mention in here, عَلَى وَجْهِ الْإِسْتِعْلَى, الْإِسْتِعْلَى meaning this request is by somebody who's more superior, that which is taken away from this definition is supplication. When we use the فِيلَ amr, the imperative in supplication, this is not the same. This is not the same, because this is not ala waji isti'la. It's talab al-fi'l, but it's not ala waji isti'la. It's requesting something, but it's not in the aspect from someone who's superior to someone who is less. No, rather it's the opposite. Ad-du'a, supplication, is al-amr min al-adna ila a'la. Ad-du'a, and that is a request from somebody who is in need and somebody who is less to someone who is superior. That is a dua. So when the fil amr is used in that regard, it's not ala wajh al-isti'la. For example, قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ or مُسْلِمَيْن. نعم, مُسْلِمِين. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, رَبَّنَا, the dua that the believer they make, أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا, give us patience. Give us immense patience. وَتَوَفَّنَا الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and make us die as Muslims. This is an amr. This is a request in the imperative tense. But it's not عَلَى وَجْهِ الْإِسْتِعْلَى. It's not a request by one who is less to one, to the one who is superior to one that is less. Because we are the needy. We are the ones in need, and Allah is the superior. So therefore He is A'la, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not al-amr ala wajh, or talab al-fi'l ala wajh al-isti'la. Naam. Point number three as it relates to barakallahu fiqh, fi'l amr, or al-amr, and command, is that the asl, the origin of al-command is yaqtadi al-wujub. The origin of the command al-amr, أصل الأمر أو الأمر يقتضي الوجوب. That the origin of a command is that it necessitates obligation. It necessitates obligation, meaning that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran, or when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commands in the Sunnah, its origin is that it must be done. And it's a sin if it's not done. It's wajib, yaqtadi al-wujub. Meaning that fa'iluhu yu'jar imtithalan, naam, wa tarikuhu yastahiqu al-iqaba. And that is that the one who does it, who fulfills this command, he gets a reward for complying. And the one that does not fulfill this command and does not fulfill it, rather they deserve to be punished, and they are under the mashiyah of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the origin of al-amr. Yaqtadi al-wujub. It necessitates obligation. Illa idha kan hunaka sarifun. Idha kan hunaka sarifan. Except if there is an angle in which this obligation is lifted. And except if there's an angle in which the obligation is lifted. And that is that if there is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his Quran, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that indicates that barakallahu feek, that this command is not obligatory. Yani, it's preferred. It is preferred. Now, point number four. Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, he said, As-siyaghu adallata or adallatu ala al-amr. He mentions different forms in which, or different forms that lead us to the amr, yani the command. And this is meaning that the explicit form, initial form of al-amr is if'al, yani do. And that is an imperative in its original form, or its original form. He mentions others. He says fi'l al-amr, which is what we've mentioned. The second is ismu fi'l al-amr. Like, for example, fahamil mas'ala. Fahamil mas'ala. Yani, understand the issue. Fahami. Meaning, understand the issue. So this is not a command form, but it's rather in a form in which it's imitating the noun, but with a meaning of it being imperative. It's imitating the noun with the meaning of it being imperative. And the third is mentions al-mudari al-muqtarinu bilam al-amr. Al-mudari, which is the present simple, which is muqtarinu bilam al-amr. And that is where the present simple is mentioned in the language with a lam, a preposition lam, which indicates a command. A preposition lam, which indicates command. Like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal takun minkum ummatun yad'una ila al-khayr. Wal takun lam, this lam is lam lil-amr. This lam is lam of amr, of a command, and takun is a present simple, verbal form. So when these two are combined, this is an affair where it becomes obligatory in its origin, except only if there is a mentioning in one way or another by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to divert it away from its original obligation. Now, and the fourth that he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says al-masdaru an-na'ib an fi'lihi. Al-masdaru an-na'ib an fi'lihi. Mithl afwan wasfah, qiyaman la julusa. And that he mentions a type of passive tense that is used in the Arabic language. Passive tense, it means when the doer or the one that commands is not mentioned, or the one that is being commanded is not mentioned. Both the command is not mentioned and the one that is being commanded is not mentioned. So for example, its original nominal form is mentioned, like afwan wasfah. Afwan means forgive and pardon. Forgive and pardon. And this actually adds more emphasis to the command. This adds more emphasis to the command. And that is similar to another mention in, for example, in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, Alaykum bisunnati, no, Usikum bitaqwa Allah. Usikum bitaqwa Allah wa sam'a wa ta'a. And this is masdar here. Wasam'a wa ta'a, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith that is mashur, where he said, I advise you, counsel you with taqwa of Allah, azza wa jal, fear Allah, be pious, fear Allah, revere Allah. Wasam'a wa ta'a, obedience, literal translation, hearing, obeying. So this is a nominal form that is used with a meaning of a command. It's a nominal form that is used with a meaning of command. So as-sam wa ta'a is like the doer is not mentioned, the one who should listen, to obey is not mentioned, and the one that is giving the command himself is not mentioned. So just the masdar, just the noun is mentioned. As-sam' wa ta'a, hearing, obeying. This adds to the, as Ibn Thaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his sharh of this hadith, in some of his works, this adds to the emphasis of the command. It means continually obey and continually hear. As-sam' wa ta'a. It adds to the emphasis of the command. As-sam' wa ta'a. So the masdar is mentioned. The noun, nominal origin, is mentioned, not the command, to add emphasis to the command. We need to know this siyagh and these different forms of command in order for barakallahu fikum us to understand the Quran and the Sunnah, and to understand the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from them is the hadith that we just mentioned, as-sam' wa ta'a, which shows the additional refutation, even linguistically, the refutation against the Khawarij, which shows that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is emphasizing in his command of hearing and obeying the Messenger. Now, hearing and obeying the ruler, hearing and obeying the ruler in ta'ammar alayka, even if an Abyssinian slave is put in charge of you. So these are some of the siyagh and some of the forms that the ulama of usul have mentioned as it relates to the different forms in which command is mentioned in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have another example: alaykum bi sunnati. Alaykum bi sunnati. Upon you is my Sunnah. This is a command. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati khulafai rashidin. Sunnati khulafai rashidin. Upon you is my Sunnah. Yani, follow my Sunnah. It's a command. This is a siyagh. This is a form of command. This is a form of command. And this is mentioned this is mentioned a lot in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave it there, and bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll continue next week with more from Sharh al-Warakat. I wanted this lesson to be half an hour long, and I believe we've reached that point. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us fiqh in his deen, and to be from those who follow his command subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with ikhlas and sidq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته حياك الله